Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
How many times have you received a command from Scripture and given an excuse as to why you can't do it? I can tell you from a pastor's perspective, I hear it all the time.
God gives us directives in His Word for how to live. Sometimes we can make excuses for why we're not following those directives. Maybe we say, it's too hard, or I feel like God told me to do this. But God will never contradict His Word, and He will always provide a way for us to do what is right, no matter how hard it might be. With part two of our study in Romans 4, 13 through 25, faith is the key. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Verse 18 says that about Abraham, who contrary to hope, so God spoke about things that were not as if they are, meaning specifically, you're gonna have descendants as many as the stars of the sky. But he doesn't have any kids, or he has one kid later on. And Abraham will say to God, when God says, your wife Sarah is going to have a child, Abraham says, oh, let Ishmael live before you. Let my son of the flesh live before you. Now, God's going to bless Ishmael. God said He would bless the children of Abraham, and He does bless Ishmael. But He said, no, but it's through Sarah that the seed shall be. The one who will bless all nations would come through Sarah. So contrary to hope, God had said He didn't have any kids. Now Abraham is not 75 years old, not 85 years old, but he's like in his 90s. And God's like, you're going to have a kid. And Abraham's like, I'm pretty old. And like Zacchaeus said, the dad of John the Baptist, when he was old and his wife was barren, and Gabriel came to him inside the temple when he was giving the incense at the incense altar and said, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a child. And he said something like this. You can go read it yourself. I paraphrase it, but this is what he said. I'm old and you should see my wife. She's really old, and you think she's going to have a child? So God is even able to take an old woman and an old man and give them the child of promise, who contrary to hope, all their hope was gone. Sarah's womb is going to be spoken of as being dead. She was past the time of bearing children. Do you know that they call a pregnancy in the mid-30s of a woman, and I'm sorry, ladies, for bringing this up, but they call it a geriatric pregnancy. And so, you know, you go in, you're 34 years old and you're pregnant, and they say, well, with a geriatric pregnancy, we got to watch out for certain things. And you're like, what did you call me? What did you say? But these guys are geriatric, okay? They're genuinely geriatric, who on the contrary in hope believed, so he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. He believed that God was going to make him the father of many nations when he was without an heir, which was a difficulty for him. Abraham was wealthy. Abraham had been given many things, but he didn't have an heir. John 11, 39 through 49, Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. This is obviously Lazarus who has died is in the tomb. The sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. So Jesus is now moved to remove the stone and raise Lazarus. And he commands her to remove the stone, but she sees a reason not to remove the stone. It says, by now there's a stench. And the King James, you gotta love it. It says, Lord, by now he stinketh. Which every wife said about every husband that ever existed. Anyway, so by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He gave her a command. She found an excuse. And Jesus said, didn't I say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So I have a question for you. How many times have you received a command from Scripture and given an excuse as to why you can't do it. I can tell you from a pastor's perspective, I hear it all the time. I'll be talking to someone who's dating a non-believer, and they'll say, but God told me I'm supposed to date them. And I say, who you date, you could end up marrying. That's the way it works. And they say, no, that's not going to happen. But they end up marrying a non-believer. Two people living together. And I say, move out. The Bible says, don't even have an impression of evil. We should be holy in all that we're doing. Move out, get married. I tell people, listen, you guys have been living together for years. We don't need to go, you know, 8, 9 months or a year. Go get a license. Let's get married. Let's have it happen. And people are like, well, we can't move out. And that's the one condition that I set. If I was going to marry someone, they had to move out. And they would say, we can't move out. We can't afford it. Isn't that kind of like, Lord, he stinketh? Did he stink? Yeah. Did that mean he didn't want the stone removed? God was going to raise him from the dead. And so if God says that you're to have a life that is free of any kind of accusations, and you say, I'm a Christian, and someone says, but aren't you guys living together? You want your life free of that. So make it happen. Go stay on someone's couch. Figure it out. What you have to do. Figure out what has to happen to be able to do it right. When God gives the command, rather than making an excuse why it can't be done, then do it by faith and trust him and believe that God will honor that. And I've seen this honored time and time again. We had a couple at our church, and this is many, many years ago now, back when we were only in the small chapel at our other campus, and they came and they were living together. And they came up to me after the service, and they were so happy. They were like, we now want to honor God. We don't want to have sex anymore. We're living together. So we put sheets on our bed, and I get under one sheet and he gets under the other sheet. And I'm thinking, that's not going to work. I appreciate the effort in saying, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to give him purity. But I knew it wasn't going to work. They knew it wasn't going to work. I told them it wasn't going to work. A little bit later on, they come back and they're like, we blew it. What do we do? And so he moved out. They didn't have money to move out. They couldn't afford to do it. He moved out and crashed with a buddy. Stayed on the couch of a friend of his for a while. Then we did their wedding. He became one of our pastors on staff. God honors faith, and faith believes what God says. And can you imagine Jesus telling you anything in his word? No wonder the Bible says that God blesses those who hear his word. And so Abraham believed God. Rather than making excuses, he believed God. Now, it wasn't easy. It didn't happen right away. And it might not happen right away with you guys either, but it needs to happen. When God gives a promise contrary to natural law or contrary to what is easy for you, it becomes difficult for you, and you believe, you receive the promise that God gives you. In fact, maybe even the difficulties that you have by doing what God says to receive the promises is God's way of seeing whether or not there really is faith. Do you really trust him? Do you really believe? Verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith. So Abraham wasn't weak in faith, but not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. And we don't need to get too specific about what that means for a man who is 99 years old. But he didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Now he has Isaac when he's 100. So you figure 9 months before that, he's 99 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, Sarah is 10 years younger, but she's 89 years old. And his body is dead and her womb is dead, but he doesn't consider them when he says, God said that I'm going to have as many descendants as the stars of the sky. And he believes God, and God honors that. Here's what Hebrews 11 says about Sarah. It says, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. something that's impossible to happen. An 89-year-old woman receiving strength to conceive a seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. God promised it. She judged him faithful. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, okay, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So whatever stands in the way when you get faith, it's not like faith's going to be easy. It's not like God's going to give you this promise, and almost all promises have conditions, and you've got to meet those conditions. Are you willing to meet the conditions? Once you start meeting them and receiving the promises of God, there's something amazing that happens. No matter how your circumstances look, it is God who said that it really matters. Or it's God that says what really matters. That is why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. It says that three times in the Old Testament and in the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And that's it's true today. We live by faith, by trusting what God says. And when we don't have, we trust in him anyway. So now we come to the very last point, and that is revelation of God's power through faith. That God's power is revealed when we trust in him. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened through faith, giving glory to God. He didn't go, it ain't gonna happen. God clearly gave him his word. See, you gotta know that God has clearly given you his word. It's one of the reasons that I love how much evidence we're getting for the historicity and evidence that God spoke through his word. The Bible foretells things before they happen. That's God's signature in the Word of God. And there's been this whole, there's been this movement since the early 1900s because the Bible is way too accurate on the things that it says are going to happen. So they declared that the first five books of the Bible were written post-exile, meaning that they were written before the time of Israel or after the time of Israel being exiled. Well, Israel was exiled in 500-600 BC. So they're saying that the Pentateuch was written 400 years or 300 years before the time of Christ. But there's been so much archaeological evidence. And now there are people who study the writings inside of books and can tell when they were written by how the writing is. And there is now that evidence that these books were written 1,500 years before the time of Christ. They're not written in any of the styles or the things that they would know when they wrote it. Archaeology keeps revealing things. It says that Abraham goes through a gate in Lachish. That's a city. And so they discover the oldest gate ever. Abraham lived 2,000 years before the time of Christ. It says that he goes through a gate in the city of Lachish. They discover the city of Lachish and they uncover a gate that if you go to Israel today, you can stand in front of the gate that Abraham 4,000 years ago went through that very gate. How did the Bible know that there was a gate if it was written at a time when that wasn't known that there was a gate there? Those are the kind of things you find in Scripture. We can trust what the Word of God says because God foretells the future, because God's Word has been proven again and again through archaeological finds. And so when God says it, now we believe it. Now what I'm getting at is this. If God had not said to Abraham, your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky, then he could have no faith. You can't have faith in what's not promised by God. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to know what God's word says. The more we know it, the more we understand the promises, the more we now are able to receive by faith the things that God gives us. So two things could stop you. One, if God doesn't say it. Two, if you don't know it. If you don't know the promises of God, which he's given us a book full of his promises, if you don't know them, then you can't receive them. So Romans 10:17 says, so this is the one I've been quoting, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I heard someone say, so that's the reason that I put a tape recorder, this is back in cassette tape times, by the way, it's the reason that I put a tape recorder in my child's crib and play the word of God for them as they go to sleep, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and this little baby is getting more and more faith in their faith container because they're hearing the word of God. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we're playing the word of God in our sleep so we can grow in faith. It means we're reading what the word of God says, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Verse 21 of Romans says, for being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham became fully convinced at 99 years old, God's going to be able to do this. Now, Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Did you notice where that was written in Numbers? Numbers 23, God is not a man, the son of man. God is not a man that he should lie, the son of a man that he should repent. Has he said, or will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God and the son of God will make good everything they say. That's Numbers 23:19. It's one of the reasons that there are Jewish rabbis who are not Christians. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they don't have any problem with the Messiah being God, because God is revealed as the Son of God, even in the Old Testament. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will continue to work in you and to make the things happen that God has promised you. So in verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now that's the second time that we heard this. So he believed, this is very specific, he believed in verse 21 and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. Before the covenant of circumcision, 400 years before the law, he believed and was righteous. And therefore, verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. So it wasn't written down about Abraham for his sake, but for our sake, that we could see how someone really comes to Christ. Verse 24, but also for us, that it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So when we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, when we confess with our mouths that he is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, then our lives become transformed. Romans 10:9-11, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Finally, verse 25, the last verse, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered up to crucifixion because of my sin, and he was raised from the dead for my justification, that I would know that I would be righteous before him. And so our sin condemns us, but Jesus came to take our sin to give us justification. And I'll close with John 14:19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. When we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then we believe in our own resurrection. Because I live, he said, you will live also. We will live for eternity, putting our trust in him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, what a clear picture we get in Romans chapter 4 of what it means to walk by faith and to believe by faith, and what it means when we're going through life and we haven't received the promises yet, that we through faith and patience receive the promises that you have given us. And we pray that we would be able to take that information in, that we would be the men and women that you want us to be, that we would read your word and not be like Martha, that says, by now there's a stench. There's a reason I can't do what your word says. But we would say, I want to find out a way to do your word. I'll do it even though there's something that stands in the way so that I can receive the great promises of Scripture. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few moments. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Or maybe you made a commitment years ago, but you didn't follow through with it, and you know you need to now. You need to personally invite him in. You need to say, Lord, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for you. And this is for every one of us that's here. I was 14 years old when I did it, when I gave my life to Christ and began to live for him. Others are much, much older, but you have to have that time in your life when you are born again, because the Bible says that unless Jesus himself, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And you have to say, Lord, I believe in you and I'm ready to live for you. Now it means that you're laying down your life. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So if you say, Lord, here's my life. It's very biblical to receive Christ. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives them the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his word. So when you receive him, when you say, Lord, come in, you give him that invitation, then he comes into your life. You want to receive him today? Then I'm going to ask you to do something simple but profound for your life. Just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want to invite Christ in. I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. So just be bold and lift your hand up now. Lord, I want to follow you. I'm done living for myself. I want to follow after you. Just raise your hand up. I'll scan the room one more time. God bless you. Off to the right. That's great. Anyone else? Again, I'll just scan the room one more time. I'm going to give your life to Christ. That inner battle, wondering what people are going to think. Don't worry about that. Worry more about what God thinks than what other people think. When you give your life to Christ, just raise your hand. All right, you can put your hand down. And I would like everyone, including the one who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. I believe you rose from the dead and I will too. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. I really am excited for you. We have a new believers table. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. If you want to know what you need to do to really be established in Christ, maybe you're a newer Christian, stop by the new believers table. They'll be able to put those things in your hands.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.